Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are working on putting to death the deeds of the flesh. And Paul, as you remember, in Colossians chapter 3, begins with the sins of sexual immorality and covetousness, which seem to be the two biggest ones that trip up the most people. And more of God's people probably fall and fail in these two areas than in any other, though there are plenty of others, and he's going to deal with others, but this is where he begins. When he tells us in Colossians 3:5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Four words in the area of sexual impurity, and one word to describe the problem of covetousness and materialism and wrong use of money. And these are the biggies, and we need to get a grip on them. We need to understand what the Bible says. We need to agree with God concerning them. We need to confess our past failure and our past unwillingness to accept the authority of God's Word in these areas of our life. And we need to ask God to help us to do exactly what His Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul told us to do in regard to these things, namely to put them to death. May God help us to do so. And thus we continue studying these items on this Friday, September 16. We welcome you to the Beacon Broadcast and thank you for joining us, and many, many thanks to those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Well, the first thing you have to understand is that this is a personal responsibility that we have got to deal with. Therefore, you put to death your members which are on the earth, those that give themselves to fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. This is our responsibility. We've got to accept the responsibility. We've got to engage in this responsibility. Just like any other area of life, we see people who, in certain areas of life, are unwilling to take responsibility, and we realize what a terrible failure that is. Those of you who are in school know students that just won't take responsibility for their studies. They won't prepare. They won't study. They won't write papers. They won't study for tests. They just don't take personal responsibility and then complain that they're not getting the grades they deserve. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But it's not hard to tell why they are having a problem. You're not accepting your personal responsibility. You are, in many cases, acting as if your failure is because the teacher's not teaching. Well, whether the teacher is or not, if you're not fulfilling your responsibility, you're not doing your assignments, you're not paying attention in class, you're not doing the homework, you're not preparing in the ways that you can and are instructed to, then you have no complaint whatsoever. Whether you consider the teacher to be a good one or a bad one is really beside the point at this stage, because until you have fulfilled your responsibility, you have no right to complain about anybody else's responsibility. And it's the same thing in the Christian life, and it's the same thing in battling sin. As long as you are blaming others, the reason I do this is because. Oh, there's so many justifications, aren't there? The reason I'm not living in moral purity as I ought to is because of the failure of my husband or wife. If they were acting the way they ought to act, then I wouldn't have to do this. Well, they may be failing. Probably are. And we hope that in the providence and grace of God, that will come to an end. But that doesn't absolve you of your responsibility. And Paul is very clear. Therefore, put to death your members, that's the parts of your body, whether we're talking about hands or feet or sexual organs, or whether we're talking about your eyes, your mind, whatever it may be, your mouth. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. Fornication, porneia, a word that means prostitute. It means any illicit sexual activity. It's the activity of sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness, the second word, is a broader word. It includes more. It's a word for general impurity that includes not only your deeds, but also your words and thoughts. It includes off-color speech, and it includes impure thoughts. And Paul says, put those to death as well. Not only put to death illicit sexual activity, but put to death illicit sexual thoughts and words. That has no place, no place at all in the life of a Christian. The third word is passion. That's a word we use and generally have some idea of what we think that means, and that really is pretty much on target with the Greek word that Paul uses here in the first century. Passion could be translated lust, is the idea of inappropriate sexual longings, the strong desires that precede sexual sins, unrestrained, illicit sexual desire, uncontrolled and habitual sexual lust. And we are told to put those to death. Somebody will come protesting at this point. Now, wait a minute. I can understand my responsibility to stop doing sexual things, activities, and deeds, which are forbidden in the Word of God. I can even understand my responsibility to clean up my speech and to stop viewing pornography and dwelling on things that give me impure thoughts. But I can't control my thoughts, my longings, my desires, they come unbidden, they come unprompted, and many times they come because of illicit sexual activity or thoughts in the past, and because you didn't rein them in the past, now you have a memory bank of activities which do seem to come flying out at inappropriate times, and it's a battle. It's a battle. But God's Word says you're responsible for those too. You're responsible to rein in inappropriate sexual longings, strong sexual desires, unrestrained, uncontrolled sexual lusts. That's your responsibility. And you say, but I can't help it if these thoughts come to my mind. Yes, that's true. You can't help it. And I'm not saying you're responsible every time a thought flits through your mind. But you are responsible when you purposefully grab onto that thought and dwell on it. Like somebody said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. You can't keep stray and random thoughts from flitting through your mind, but you can keep from dwelling on them, turning them over, gaining some kind of illicit sexual pleasure from them. That's passion. And we are told, put to death Your members, which are on the earth, number one, fornication, number two, uncleanness, number three, passion, and then finally, number four, evil desire, which is very similar to number three. Here they begin to overlap a bit. And this word, evil desire, means wicked, self-serving desires, craving what is forbidden. This would begin to bleed over into the area of unnatural sexual activities and desires. Things that have to do with homosexuality and those kinds of sexual activities. And again, that's a big subject, and I know we're not going to be able to address all of that on this broadcast. I'm not even going to try, but I'm just simply going to say that's included here. And as far as God's concerned, those kind of desires are evil desires. Now, it's not to say that a desire for a same-sex relationship is more sinful necessarily than a desire for, say, an adulterous sexual relationship. Any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage, and now, unfortunately, we have to say outside of traditional marriage, outside of biblical marriage, outside of one man, one woman kind of marriage, which is the only kind of marriage that any society recognized by the name marriage until about 20 years ago, in the whole history of humanity. And there have been, of course, homosexual activities going on, I suppose, almost from the beginning. You can find it way back in the Bible, way back in the book of Genesis. So that's not what's new. But, oh, what is new is trying to legitimize this by legalizing same-sex marriage. And that is brand new. Nobody ever did that before. All of the homosexual activity that was prevalent in Greek and Roman societies, and it was rampant. But the idea of homosexual marriage was never allowed. As far as I know, it was never proposed. What a day in which we live. We really are seeing evil coming to its greatest bloom, I think, any time in the history of humanity. But that's included in this idea of evil desire. It's all the things that are included under passion, inappropriate sexual longings and so forth, but now particularly with a slight slant toward craving what is forbidden, including craving that which is deviant. How many Christians today are engaged in illicit sexual activity? Only God knows. I'm sure it's way too many. How many Christians today are consumers of pornography? Again, only God knows, but I'm sure it's way too many. But here's what this passage is teaching us. Sinful thoughts can be controlled. They can be put to death. We're told here to do it. If we cultivate a heart for things above, and if we depend daily, on the power of Christ within, if we will do that, we can conquer all of these things, all four of these words, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, all of those things can be put to death in our lives if we'll get serious about it. If we will do the things that God's Word indicates that we must do, if we will call upon the Lord to give us the grace that He has promised, we can be obedient. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.